Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Special technique of shadow boxing.
Yo, what's up? What's going on? What's good? Boxing Source checking in here on January 31st, 2021, and we are live. So we are getting this thing started here for this live podcast. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can dial in 347-237-5539, 347-237-5539, and you'll be able to join in on the boxing conversation. We got, you know, a few things that we're going to be talking about. Of course, we had, the IBF super middleweight title fight that happened yesterday between Caleb Plant and Caleb Truex. We're going to be going into that here a little bit. And also, you know, we had a lot of news that has been going on over the course of the past week, so we'll be touching in on that as well as a couple of other hot topics. So if you want to join in on that, just get in 347-237-5539. So yesterday you had the whole thing with Caleb Plant versus Caleb Truex, IBF super middleweight championship on the line, Caleb Plant being in there undefeated, and you did have Caleb Truex, who was a former world champion himself, getting in there as the top rated contender in the IBF rankings. So he was able to get, you know, a fight here with Caleb Plant. And, you know, a few people kind of like, you know, expected Caleb Plant to, you know, go in there, handle business against somebody in Caleb Truex that, you know, while has, like I said, been a former world champion, has had, not very many, high-profile fights up to this particular point. So, you know, Caleb Plant was a huge favorite going into this fight, and, you know, from the get-go, we saw that there was significant differences between Caleb Plant and Caleb Truex. Caleb Plant was, you know, I would say, he was just, you know, much more of a faster fighter there against Caleb Truex, and kind of like show, you know, some boxing skill. But there were a few things that kind of like seemed like he was, open to a few shots. Caleb Truex was able to catch him a few times with, a few right hands, as Caleb Plant left his left hand down a lot over the course of that particular fight. And that, you know, if Truex was very aggressive and very forceful in this particular bout, that you would have seen a whole lot more to critique from Caleb Plant. Now, Caleb Plant is supposed to be there as the, well, he is actually the longest reigning world champion at super middleweight, you know, but he's had, you know, three defenses of that IBF super middleweight title ever since he won it from Jose Uscategui, right? And he was able to get the unanimous decision over Caleb Truex with three scores of 120-108. There were like no knockdowns in the fight. Nothing where I saw that Caleb Truax was in any type of trouble over the course of this particular bout. For me, I kind of like felt like, Caleb Plant could have did a few things more over the course of this particular bout, man. I'm going to see if I can get in early, check in from the 205 area code, see what he got going on. 205, checking in on the Boxing Source Radio Show. What's good?
What's going on, James? It's Mike. How you doing?
Do it all good over here, man. Up north, the snow coming down, but I'm all good.
That's good to hear. Yeah, you talking about the Caleb Plant fight?
Yep. Yeah, just seeing that he was able to be in there against Caleb Truax, but I felt like he should have been able to impress a little bit more in that fight, given the speculation for Caleb Plant later this year, and that he had a lot of eyes on him in his last fight against Vincent Figenboots when it was on Fox. So I thought he would have been able to turn in a better performance, but it just wasn't the case. I think he just went through the rounds mainly, but he also showed a lot of openings in that particular fight.
Yeah, definitely. I was live at the Figenboots fight, and I was been watching last four or five of his fights, and I was thoroughly impressed with how he goes about engaging with his opponent, and it wasn't the same in his fight. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt, in that he says that he hurt his shoulder or arm or something earlier in the fight, I believe. Maybe that's why he didn't really use his jab like he normally do. He just was content to letting what's-his-name kind of come in the fight. If I'm honest, it wasn't as exciting, as it normally is in his fights. At least I normally get that Floyd Mayweather feel, like, man, he thoroughly outboxing this guy and looking good doing it. I didn't get that feeling. I didn't get those warm and fuzzies, like, man, he just outclassing this guy. So, yeah. Hopefully, whatever it is, he can, go back to the drawing board and regroup, because with that performance, Canelo will definitely fight him, and maybe that's what he wanted. So that actually might have been a great thing for him to fight like that, to get him in the ring with Canelo, because, Canelo's smart. Canelo's team is smart, and they definitely, just like Floyd Mayweather, just like Manny Pacquiao, know how to pick him.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's, Man, I just felt like, Plant should have been able to, show that he was clearly much better than Caleb Truax in this particular bout. He kind of, had that whole momentum from last year, like you said, with that Figenboots fight that you were at last year. And, I just, said, if you're going to show that you – should have a fight against Canelo Alvarez later this year, then, you should be able to at least impress against a guy like Caleb Truax there. Real quick, got someone that was on hold here from the 516 area code checking in. Who's calling and where are you calling from? So you got 516 on the line? Or maybe just listening in here. All right, that's cool. That's cool. I just felt like the thing with Caleb Plant. Yeah, he said he hurt his hand or something like that. But I don't know if that really was much of the case in this bout. Because it wasn't we couldn't check in the corners in between the rounds and. I didn't see him mentioning anything about him hurting his hand or anything like that over the course of those rounds. So, you know, seeing that report after the fight was kind of weird to me, you know, that he said he was hurting his hand. So I didn't know what that was all about.
I will admit I wasn't as observant of the fight as I could have been. I was kind of like distracted, sort of. I wasn't like all into the fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think that even like going into the days before the fight was happening, like I just didn't kind of like look forward to this fight. It was almost like, you know, and it's crazy given that, you know, like I said, Caleb Truex has been, you know, very competitive in the middleweight and super middleweight divisions. But, you know, I just didn't think that he would have been able to do well against, you know, Caleb Plant. You know, given that he had like, was it one instance where he fought to a no contest there, against Peter Quillen in 2019, and then he had like one fight over, you know, close to his home area in Minnesota, and that was like a majority decision victory, you know, against somebody that was like 16-4-1. So, you know, how he was able to get into that position to be the top-ranked guy in the IBF rankings, you know, some people may feel like that was kind of, you know, suspect or questionable. But, you know, when he couldn't even, you know, be in a position to fight Peter Quillen once again after 2019, I just felt like he, you know, kind of like had lost a couple of steps there. And he's there at 37 years old, so it's like, man, I'm like, come on, man. Like, you got to – if he's there and he's, you know, right there in front of you there for Caleb Plant, you got to be able to be many steps ahead of Caleb Truax in this particular instance. You know, and he showed that he was faster and everything like that, but he just didn't put in enough to finish off Caleb Truax. Yeah. So – I mean, I just like, and, you know, right now it seems like they're trying to, you know, position Caleb Plant and say that, oh, he could possibly be an opponent for Canelo. But, you know, I've also heard that if he doesn't, like, fight Canelo, you know, real soon, as we know Canelo has plans over the next 3 to 5 months, that in the interim, Caleb Plant could fight, you know, Anthony Durrell. And I'm like, well, why would he fight Anthony Durrell at this particular point? But you know, I kind of heard that Durrell was a potential opponent for this date and that he didn't take the fight initially and ended up fighting Caleb Truax instead. So I just found that weird how that came out, how that report came out as well, man. Like, you're there, you know, you've been the IBF champ, you're supposed to, you know, say that you're one of the higher rated guys in the super middleweight division, but you're, you know, going up against like a Caleb Truax or, you know, something like that, where Truax wasn't even that highly rated in the super middleweight division. So that, man, there has to be something there for Caleb Plant to, you know, be in there so that he could show like how good he actually is. He doesn't have that fight. Like, he could have had the fight against David Benavidez, but that never materialized. So, you know, with that being said, like, what else is out there for him to do?
There's some dogs out there, but people got to exert themselves. That seems to be the thing that people aren't doing nowadays. They fight fights that don't even make sense, like, belt-wise. Mm-hmm. Strategic. I mean, I guess it makes sense if you're trying to, like, pad the record, but I'm tired of seeing, you know, cupcake, you know, participation trophies, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like they just going in there and they fighting these guys and, you know, getting, you know, props for those type of fights. And I'm like, well, they can't necessarily fly in this case, man. But, you know, with Truex, I mean, he's kind of, I guess he's floating in there around the top 20 or something within the 168-pound division. But, you know, given the division itself, it's not like necessarily a deep division where you could go, you know, 10 or 12 fighters down and say, yeah, I know this guy, I know who he's fought, or I know that he's a competitor and things like that. You know, you see that in middleweight at times. You see that at welterweight or, you know, at, light heavyweight or something. But super middleweight hasn't really had that type of, history, so to speak, when it comes to, you know, fighters that are there, like, among the pound-for-pound rankings sometimes, or just anyone that's been there competing at that particular weight class. I mean, you did have Callum Smith there, but, you know, Callum Smith, and this has been a conversation that, you know, we don't necessarily know where Callum Smith is at this particular point, because, yeah, he's had this win over George Groves and things like that, but, you know, outside of that, it's like, what else can, you know, some fight fans point to for Callum Smith as, a definitive win that he has there in the super middleweight division, you know. So that's the thing that, you know, people got to look out for when it comes to super middleweight. And with Caleb Plant going up against the likes of, Caleb Truex, that might not, you know, sit well with a lot of people. You know what I mean? So.
You're definitely right. But we can't we can't give Canelo a break either.
Yeah.
Same right. Because Callum Smith wasn't that good. And maybe he'll give other guys problems because of his height that are not power centric, but he's really not that good.
Yeah, and the thing is with Canelo Alvarez, we see that he has those two fights ahead of him, February 27th against Abner Yildirim. And then, you know, if he gets through that fight, you know, with no serious injuries or anything like that, and, you know, ends up winning that fight, then he'll fight Billy Joe Saunders with the, you know, with that WBO, so he can unify with the WBO title. But, you know, the thing is with Billy Joe Saunders, like, you know, there's still, like, people that are up and down as far as, like, Billy Joe Saunders is concerned, particularly there at super middleweight, because, like, he has to fight against Martin Murray, but outside of that, like, who is he, you know, took on at super middleweight, you know, at up to this point. So it's going to be, you know, really interesting how that particular division shapes up within the next 6 to 8 months or so, because, you know, like I said, you have Canelo there. You have, you know, Billy Joe Saunders waiting out there. You know, Caleb Plant, you know, defended his IBF title. David Benavidez could have been a WBC champ, but he can't stay within, you know, within the weight limit. It's a lot to sort out with that. But with Caleb Plant, it's like, you know, you had a chance to make a statement, you know, on national television. Everybody knows what the plans are for Canelo, you know, at first, but, you know, last year he was a potential opponent for Canelo Alvarez last year, but he said, you know, that he wasn't necessarily accepting that fight at that particular point. So now the eyes are, you know, on him, and, you know, having this particular performance against someone that, you know, I don't think really had much of a competitive chance against Caleb Plant. You know, he wasn't able to finish him off. You know, like saying goes with one of the panelists that, you know, come on here. Like, if you know that this guy is not on your level, you got to get him out of there. And Caleb Plant didn't do that. So, but, like, you had that, and you had, like, other fights that were on the card, at least on the televised portion of the card. he had like a heavyweight fight on there with two undefeated fighters, Michael Coffey and Darmani Rock. This fight might be brought up later on in the show, at another portion of the show, if more people jump on. But Michael Coffey was able to stop Darmani Rock with a KO victory, and I mean, it was basically a heavyweight fight, man, with two big dudes just throwing punches. But Michael Coffey did catch Darmani Rock with a good left uppercut, kind of like hook uppercut type of punch there in the third round to put Darmani Rock down that first time. And then he just, came in with a hook that hit the top of Darmani Rock's head to put him down once again. And then Jack Reese just put a stop to that count. He waived the count on that, man. So, you had Michael Coffey there moved to 12-0. I'd like to see what they're going to be able to do with them, man. Cause they actually have like a few guys that have that type of record, like 12-0, 15-0 around there, where they could match up those guys. Like, I mean, they have Frank Sanchez, that had a fight, on the Fox card, I think it was a few months ago. Like, he could be somebody that could fight like a Michael Coffey or something like that, So, man, I just don't know if they really are pushing to like make more of these type of fights. But I'm kind of like interested in those because these are the ones where you kind of see like who are the next guys to be in the top 20, top 25 in the heavyweight division before they become, heavyweight contenders, if they can become heavyweight contenders. So that was a quick three-round bout there in the heavyweight division. What were your thoughts about that particular fight, Mike?
I mean, definitely Coffey was athletically and just the better grade fighter. From my eye test, I don't think he's going to go far. Not trying to be as crude or, direct, harsh, whatever people want to call it. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to go far. He might be better than Michael Hunter. Michael Hunter might be better than they might be on the same level. I don't know. Michael Hunter might be better than him. He might be better than Michael Hunter, but I think he'll go about as far as Michael Hunter goes.
That would be a good little matchup there, for Coffey. But I don't think they would, fit him up there. Now, if Ajango was still with PBC, that would be a fight there, Michael Coffey versus Ajango, but. I'm like looking who else could be out there that could possibly be a potential opponent for Coffey that they could put on there. They wouldn't put him up there against Otto Walling. Now that could possibly be another one that they could do, but I don't think they'll match Michael Coffey off against Otto Walling like that. They wouldn't do that. So and then Walling's still supposed to be fighting Dominic Brazil. So as long as that fight card does happen on Showtime, then, Waleem will end up fighting Dominic Brazil, but that, remains to be seen. But, you do have a good number of these guys that are, 12-0, 15-0, where it's like you could put these guys against each other and you really see, people getting sorted out in that particular weight class, and I think Coffey kind of like jumps in that conversation though. You also had they had like opening bout there in that particular card, or that was televised. You had Joey Spencer against Isaiah Seldon there, and yes, that's a the Seldon name, of course, you had the former heavyweight champ, Bruce Seldon. So, yeah, that's, same thing here with, the boxing family with Isaiah Seldon being in the ring. Seldon was like 14-3-1 coming into this particular fight, and Joey Spencer there, you know, young cat there, 11-0, you know, just 20 years old, and he's coming there 11-0 with 8 knockouts, and he was able to get a first-round KO victory over Isaiah Seldon as he caught him with the right hand, put him down to the canvas, and then they were, like, in close quarters, and Seldon kind of, like, hit Spencer in the back of the head, like, twice, and Jerry Cantu took 2 points away from Seldon, and then after that, once he got knocked down again, Cantu just waved the bout, basically, as soon as Seldon got up, and Seldon was, you know, pretty pissed about that, but it looked like the referee kind of, like, took advantage of that thing and, you know, just put a quick end to that particular bout, you know, right there, man. You know, so that's what you had in that opening bout. So, you know, Joey Spencer is, you know, campaigning there at the middleweight division currently. It looks like, you know, 150. He's pretty much around that 156 pound range. So that's like one of those young cats that we'll see in the middleweight division here in the, you know, near future. I was looking at something. I got this thing simulcast through YouTube right now, and have like a question. I guess a question that was posed up here from someone, Chris, checking in. Asked, like, if I think if Benavidez or Plant should be rushing to fight each other if they got the opportunity open for Canelo in September, you know. Well, I mean, the thing is, Canelo has kind of, like, been announced. It seemed like, you know, sources have come out to say that Canelo is going to be fighting Billy Joe Saunders in May if he gets through the fight against Abner Yildirim in February. So the thing with Benavidez is we don't even know what Benavidez is going to do. Like I said, he had the opportunity to get back the WBC super middleweight title, and he came in overweight before fighting Romer Alexis Angulo. And so that's how Canelo ended up fighting for the WBC title. So now with Benavidez, it's like, what's next for him, since there is he has no belt, and he has no, pretty much doesn't have much leverage to try to get himself into that conversation. So for Benavidez, he might be out of the picture for, shoot, I would say for most of this year. Anything else that he could basically do is going to be, I don't think it's going to move much in the super middleweight division. So he's kind of out of it. And the thing with Caleb Plant, you know, it just looks like he's just chilling, going by the motions and watching what Canelo's doing. So this is almost like the Canelo sweepstakes all over again. That's what it's looking like right now. You know, who's going to be the next fighter to win the Canelo sweepstakes? That's kind of like how it's going right now. And you don't see you know, any people kind of like taking the charge to say that, oh, I should really be the one to kind of you know, to kind of like say, oh, I could really compete against Canelo Alvarez, whether it's at, you know, super middleweight or anything else. You know, so that's kind of like what I feel about that particular, you know, in topic or something like that. So, you know, that's my thoughts on it. There really isn't like that much other action that was going on or coming up next week. So, you know, kind of like feel like it's what is it like? Like, I did want to bring up a couple of topics when it came to, you know, the thing with the WBA welterweight title. You know, first off, we had the announcement by the WBA making Manny Pacquiao the champion in recess and elevating Yuridenis Ugas as the, you know, the super champion, you know, there. So right now, you have Yuridenis Ugas as the WBA super champion. He had just won the WBA regular belt in September, you know. And so now it seems like there's possible talks about him fighting Errol Spence Jr. as they were talking back and forth on social media. So with Yordanis Ugas kind of like being the WBA regular champion, that is a interesting thing there. And, I wonder, how it's going to work out, because if Manny Pacquiao, if he says that he's still active, then who is he going to end up fighting if he's, still active? The WBA had the rules where it said, if he name a fighter a champion in recess due to inactivity, that part of it is because they gave an option for, Manny Pacquiao to fight the WBA regular champion, and, that wasn't the case. So they just said, hey, if the regular champion still feels like he's active, then they'll elevate him to super champ. So that's how Ugas is now the super champ, and it kind of throws a couple of things off too, because wasn't Spence planning on fighting Manny Pacquiao? And now that the WBA does this, hey, that fight might not be in the cards, man. So Mike, what did you think about that news?
I will have to tell you later. I'm going up to a counter real quick. I'll tell you in one second.
You got some other things going down. But, you had with the thing with Yordanis Ugas, man, I mean, he was kind of being in a conversation of potentially, fighting other guys before they put him in against, against Abel Ramos, right? And with that situation, I kind of thought about something. When the WBA had made that announcement for Yordanis Ugas to fight Abel Ramos for that WBA title, that title was vacant, and Abel Ramos was just the sixth-ranked guy in the WBA rankings. You also had Danny Garcia ranked above Abel Ramos, and you also had Mikey Garcia ranked above Abel Ramos. Now, of course, we knew that Danny Garcia was being positioned to fight Errol Spence Jr., so Danny wasn't going to, say that, hey, I'm going to go ahead and try to fight Yordanis Ugas for that WBA regular title or whatnot. So that leaves Mikey Garcia. How is it that Mikey Garcia didn't jump on the chance to potentially fight for a world title there against Yordanis Ugas? I thought that was kind of interesting there, because you're there ranked at number three in the WBA, and you could potentially fight for a world title. So why didn't you go up there against Yordanis Ugas? Could it be because of money, or if you had any other situation going on? Maybe so, but I just felt like with the way that they do things for the vacant title, they get the highest ranked contenders that are available. And if Mikey Garcia was available, then why didn't he go ahead and, go forward and take that particular fight against Yordanis Ugas for that WBA title? I didn't necessarily understand that. But that was kind of one of the other situations that was out there. You also had one particular thing where you had something with David Benavidez potentially saying that he may have sent something out to Edgar Berlanga to have a fight with Edgar Berlanga, man, and I got to find that, because that was, to me, that was kind of shocking that, someone like I was mentioning with, David Benavidez being a former champ, former world champion, this is, it was crazy that, he would go in and, try to call out, Edgar Berlanga, specifically when Berlanga hadn't had, that type of, experience, So I'm like, where in the world did this come from? You know what I mean? So this is this was nuts, because, it was through, Mike Carpenter, and he says, that Jose Benavidez Sr., said that Edgar Berlanga declined a bout with David Benavidez, And, you know, it said, like, Benavidez's father asked if Berlanga would fight him, and he said that, you know, have Al make an offer to Top Rank or myself, you know. And he said never heard from him again. So now you have the whole thing with, I guess Benavidez is going to be fighting Ronald Ellis. That was, I think that fight is in March 13th, scheduled for March 13th. So that's crazy that, you know, they could have possibly said that David Benavidez, you know, could have been fighting Edgar Berlanga, or that offer could have been sent out. But it will be Benavidez against Ronald Ellis on March 13th. But we'll see, like, how that is kind of situated, man, because I just understand why Benavidez would even mention Edgar Berlanga's name at this particular point, you know, given his situation where he's, like, a former world champion. You know, Berlanga is just, you know, starting out, you know, over like, a couple of years as a pro. So, that's kind of strange there. You know what I mean? But I just think that just goes to the thing with that super middleweight division. Like, that top of the super middleweight division got to be able to sort itself out. And you have contenders out there in the middle of that particular division that could face each other, and then they would be the next guys to contend for those world titles. So, you know, even though you have Canelo seeming like his plan is set to try to become the undisputed super middleweight champion, these other guys are like, it kind of like seems like a whole mess for those people. So, yeah, I just don't understand it there, man. Let me see. You know, Chris, you know, was on this simulcast here through YouTube. Like you saying, you don't know if Mikey's in fighting shape or is interested to fight this year, you know, going by what Robert Garcia was saying. Man, I don't know. You know, I don't know, man. Because, you know, him at like 147, I just don't see why Mikey Garcia is continuing to, you know, have his try to continue his career, you know, at 147. Now, I mean, you had the thing with, Mikey and Robert's mom, you know, she passed due to COVID. But, you know, I like, the other thing is, it's like, man, I just didn't see, like, where Mikey Garcia kind of, like, fits in the welterweight division. So that's kind of crazy right there. But, you know, the thing is, that was, like, at the beginning of, beginning of this month, where Mikey Garcia's mother passed due to COVID. So I hadn't really seen any other news in reference to what Mikey Garcia was going to do at this particular point. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's a lot to, you know, kind of stomach right there, man. But, yeah, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of fighters that are out there that, you know, could be in some, you know, pretty pivotal fights, but they're just not, you know, materializing at this point. So it's kind of frustrating for some of these fans that, you know, want to see these fights materialize and things like that, but, you know, it's just not happening. You know what I mean? So there's that. The other thing that I do want to talk about, man. Friday, oh my God. Friday, you know, we had the fight over in, the Miami area, man. They actually had a fight. I couldn't believe it. I was going up, you know, going counting down the days, and I'm like, first of all, I didn't think that they would even have a fight card, but they actually put something together. But this is Don King we're talking about, and everybody knows that it was supposed to be Trevor Bryan against Manuel Char for the WBA title, but Manuel Char didn't necessarily have everything locked down, so I thought it wasn't going to be a fight. But being Don King, he gets Trevor Bryan to step in the ring against Bermon Stiverne. And talk about a talk about a uneventful 11 rounds or so, man. That was just, my goodness, man. That was just 11 rounds, and there was nothing really happening in those 11 rounds. And then Stiverne gets hit with a right hand and goes down to the canvas. And then, you know, he gets blitzed again, go down, and he ends up being stopped in the 11th round. And now Trevor Bryan is the WBA heavyweight champion, not the interim champ, not the gold champ, not whatever championship the WBA could come up with, but he's the WBA world heavyweight champion at 21-0. This is a guy that hadn't fought since 2018 against BJ Flores to win that WBA interim title. And if you look at, you know, the fighters that he's fought, like, he's fought guys that are 2-24, 2-20, 6-19, 16-16, and 2-13, and now he is a WBA world champion. It's crazy, man. I don't understand it, but they were still able to put him in the ring against Bermon Stiverne. That's the thing that got me, is that how you get him in there with Bermon Stiverne, who had lost 3 of his last 4 fights, and was, you know, he hadn't been active since that first-round KO loss to Deontay Wilder. Then it was, like, about almost 2 years till he fought, like, Joe Joyce, and he got, you know, beat up by Joe Joyce, and then he was still on the shelf again. So how is it that I just don't understand how people are still able to have these fights, or fights of this magnitude, approved, you know, through the state athletic commissions or, you know, anything like that. It's like, I just don't understand it. But yes, Stiverne was in the ring and was able to get, you know, a fight for this WBA regular title. That was just nuts, man. I just don't understand it, man. I don't get it. Yeah, I don't get it, man.
So I'll say this, and I'll say it a bunch of times. If you watch Stiverne, you look punch drunk from a year or two ago from getting touched by Deontay Wilder. And that's the effect that you see. I'm almost positive if we see Tyson Fury go up against somebody. Well, he did well in the second fight, but all I'm saying is when he does get touched, you'll see the effects of that as well too, which I think we did see it, because when he fought against the guy who was supposed to fight against what's the last guy he fought before Wilder?
Who's Stiverne?
What's his name?
Who are you talking about, Stiverne or Bryan?
Tyson Fury. I was saying, what I'm saying is we see the effects from when people get hit by Deontay Wilder. And we saw it with that in-between fight. And so we just seeing a concussed man who gets touched very, you know, he don't have to get touched very hard. And you see the effects of the concussions. That you can't get around that. There's no way you can get around it. It's definitely time for him to retire, because all that's going to happen, he's going to lose the fluid that's around his brain. And, you know, that's when those dire consequences start to happen, because he doesn't have the you know, the brain fluid to cushion his brain when it hit to the side of his head and stuff. And I would hate to see, you know, something happen to this man. Teach people to do something,
well, I mean,
you know.
He had that first fight against Deontay Wilder. He went 12 rounds against him. Then he had the fight against Derek Rossi, where, you know, some people felt like Derek Rossi had beat Bermon Severn. And I think he went down in that particular fight, you know, against Derek Rossi. And that was, you know, about 10 or 11 months after the first Deontay Wilder fight. And then
that's what I'm saying. You saw the effects then.
Yeah. And then he was supposed to fight, you know, Alexander Povetkin. And, you know, that got nixed because of what Povetkin was doing. But then, you know, that just made him be on the shelf until the next Wilder fight. And, you know, he didn't really give much of an effort in that particular fight. And you talk about, you know, punch effects. In that second Wilder fight, that first knockdown and the second knockdown, you really didn't have much emphasis from Wilder's punches for Bermon Severn to go down in that particular fight until, you know, the last knockdown in the first round. So, yeah, he, you know, with something of that magnitude, you got to be able to have, like, some type of team or, you know, a crew of doctors that would be able to, you know, properly approve you to compete in these type of fights. But I don't know who, you know, allowed all this stuff happening because, yeah, the thing with Trevor Bryan really isn't anybody that – he didn't look like he was somebody that could – that really had much behind his punches. And, you know, even at that 11th round, it – like he went down to like a right hand that really didn't – it just didn't look like it was that much to me, you know. But that just – I guess that just goes to show about the thing with punch resistance sometimes, man. If you – you know, go down to something like that, then that should be a concern, you know. So, yeah, he should, like, yeah, Severn should, like, hang him up because you don't want to, you know, be in more trouble than you could be right now, you know. So there shouldn't be anything where he should, you know, have, like, a license to compete in anywhere, you know what I'm saying? Like, he needs to, you know, be medically suspended for, you know, I would say at least a couple years to enforce like a retirement.
I agree.
Straight up, you know.
I agree.
It's one thing when you lose consecutive fights, but you're getting knocked out in each of these fights. You're getting knocked down in each of these fights. So, like, when you have that type of thing going on, you gotta be able to give it up, man. You know, you gotta be able to give it up, or these sanctioning bodies or state athletic commissions gotta be able to take your license. You can't be, you know, having these type of fights where you could be in there, where you could potentially be seriously hurt or, you know, permanently damaged. So that's the thing with Bermon Severn, and on the flip side, man, you got Trevor Bryan. I don't understand how he's able to be the WBA champion, but, you know, supposedly that title was supposed to be held by a dude that hadn't fought in 4 years in Manuel Char or Mahmoud Char. And that's just the whole thing with Don King. Don King will hold fighters up and, you know, keep them on the shelf or keep them on ice, you know, as long as possible. Until he gets a favorable deal, and that's what it looked like here. And then he was still able to have that be approved for the WBA title. Now that's something on the WBA as well, how they were able to have something, a fight like that, be approved to be for the WBA title when Bermon Severn had lost two consecutive fights before that. So how was he in the, you know, even considered to be part of the rankings in the WBA if he lost two consecutive fights? That's crazy. Sometimes that's boxing right there. That's the politics of boxing, you know. So
I was about to say, it is what it is when you're expendable.
Yep. So So that was my thing on that, man. But I was, like, trying to look at, you know, what else is going on. I mean, I still don't see anything with Adrian Broner. That, you know, I haven't seen if that fight is going to actually go through, whether it's going to be on February 20th or February 27th. So they haven't really put in the full approval for that particular fight yet. And they had this whole thing with Ryan Garcia and Manny Pacquiao, and I'm like he's saying like it's not going to be an exhibition, but the thing is like I've already talked about the situation with Manny Pacquiao being a champion in recess for the WBA, so I don't see where this is going to fit. You know, he keeps talking about, oh, I'm going to fight Manny. But I haven't seen anything with Manny saying that he's going to be fighting, Ryan Garcia. That, I haven't seen that. Until I see that, then I'm not even going to, you know, go for it. I'm not even going to go for all of that as of yet. You know what I mean? Like that, that just has me questioning things. You know what I'm saying? Because Leonard Ellerbe, like, kept saying, like, hey, when people keep talking about a fight, that means the fight's not gonna happen. And Ryan Garcia is doing a lot of talking and nothing moving as far as like a fight is a natural fight is concerned. And I feel like, you know, with Ryan Garcia, I just think he's just talking to get some buzz and to get more followers or, you know, to get more attention, and that his actual next fight is going to be against somebody else, probably against like a Jorge Linares or something like that at lightweight. So that's what I'm saying off of this, because unless if I see, like, any reports about contracts being laid out, then he ain't fighting no Manny Pacquiao or Devin Haney or anything like that. You know? But, like, when that was originally talked about, you know, what did you think about that being a potential fight there with Ryan Garcia and Manny Pacquiao?
To be honest, I thought that Pacquiao was getting a good deal. And, you know, that should have been a fight that people say, no, we will not, you know, sanction. However, Manny Pacquiao deserved to fight whoever he wanted to fight. I'm not trying to be funny. Like, while we do add him in the list of fighters at welterweight, he's not really truly considered. Like, you can't really truly consider him in the conversation with Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford, and, you know, even though he beat Keith Thurman, but you can't truly consider him because he ain't got to fight none of them people. He's nice, but he doesn't have to. So I think he got the right to fight whoever he want to fight. I'm just being... just my perspective. He can fight whoever he wants to fight. Being said, if this man want to make the most money with the least risk, he has kind of earned that right to do that. I didn't like it when Floyd did it, but they have earned that right. I mean, they're not in the conversations where we question, are they the best? They're like champion emeritus. That's sort of what they are. They're not.
Yeah.
You know, consistent competing champions. They are champions emeritus, and as such, they can truly fight whoever they want to fight. And so, I thought that he was going to get him a quick little payday, and, you know, knock this dude out, and, you know, just highest cost, least risk type of fight. And then again, I think he has earned the right to be able to do that. I don't like it, but he's definitely earned the right to do that. And so, when you come around and find out that that fight, well, the first fight when what's-his-name was calling out Gervonta Davis, and then he says, "No, no, I'm not going to fight you because I got something better. I'm going to fight Manny Pacquiao." And then it comes down that he's not truly going to fight Manny Pacquiao. I think the dude is just the boy who cried wolf. And, you know, with the social media age, people will publicize the fight online and do all that posturing and stuff. But when it comes down to actually making stuff happen, like, all they care about is just getting that buzz. But I think he will quickly learn that, you know, maybe he ain't heard the fable when we were younger in school, but the boy who cried wolf, I'm sure he probably hadn't heard of that. But I think he probably will pretty soon.
Yeah, because right now it seems like he's, you know, really talking it up a lot, you know. And, yeah, you did mention the thing there with Gervonta Davis, and I was like, well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, you say that, initially you're going to talk about Gervonta Davis, but then you go on the video again and say, you know, that's, you know, I got something else that's much bigger that I'm working on in the future. That's a very big, very big fight. And, you know, people were like kind of like talking about, okay, what would it be? Like, what would be bigger than fighting Gervonta Davis at this particular point of your career? And so that's when the, you know, thing dropped about, you know, him potentially fighting Manny Pacquiao. And, you know, I just felt like that was, you know, really, really strange, given that you had somebody that hadn't really established himself at 135 pounds yet. Like, he just had his fight with, you know, Luke Campbell to kind of like put him in contention to maybe fight for a world title. And then he goes from that to, you know, saying that he possibly could fight Manny Pacquiao. That's, you know, that's a real, you know, real loop. You know, that throws people off for a real loop right there. So I was like, you know, I had to believe it when I see it. I had to believe it when it's actually signed and there's a date and there's a venue, you know, for something of that magnitude. Although, you know, other people were trying to, you know, boost it up and say, hey, yeah, this could happen. This could really happen. I'm like, unless if I see something from Manny Pacquiao saying that it's going to happen, yeah, I'm not going to go for that, you know. So, you know, for now, I'll have to see with Ryan Garcia until something else big kind of comes up. I got him facing Jorge Linares en route to, you know, keeping his status as a potential mandatory challenger for Devin Haney in the WBC lightweight title. So I was like, yeah. He keeps talking, but, you know, we just have to, you know, wait and see on that, man. It's something else that I just don't see where in any situation that Ryan Garcia would be fighting Manny Pacquiao, you know. At any weight class, whether it's up at, you know, north of 140 pounds or if it's at 140 pounds or anything like that. You know, until, you know, they say something about it, where it's official and it has something going down as a date, then nope, I'm not gonna, you know, put more fuel to that particular fire, man. You know. You know, with
there's definitely no
dead,
guarantee,
man,
that he's going to fight Linares either. Like, even when this Manny Pacquiao fight doesn't happen, there's no guarantee. Because there's no guarantee he's going to get out of this fight. Because that's the guy who has the tools to pretty much beat him. As long as he can stay away from the power, he has the tools to give him the most trouble that he has had.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like with the thing with Linares was originally going to be one of Ryan Garcia's opponents last year. But, you know, whole thing with lockdown and then they supposedly had, like, some type of issue between Ryan Garcia and Golden Boy, and that's how we ended up getting something between Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell. But I feel like something for Jorge Linares could be something, you know, that could benefit both fighters. I mean, it would see that, you know, with Linares, he would still be able to show that he's still competitive in the lightweight division. And for, Ryan Garcia, that could be something else too. But I just thought of something. A couple of days ago, there was a post where it showed Bob Arum and Oscar De La Hoya talking with each other, right? And there were some possible matchups that they could have talked about. Some people kind of brought up, you know, Terrence Crawford potentially fighting maybe a Virgil Ortiz Jr., but that's not going to happen because Virgil Ortiz is going to fight Maurice Hooker on March 20th. There. So it's, you know, a battle of two guys from the Dallas area. That's going to happen. So that's out of the cards. So if Oscar De La Hoya and Bob Arum are talking and it could be a potential fight, what if it was something when it came to Ryan Garcia and a guy by the name of Vasyl Lomachenko? That could be something that could potentially happen, because I don't think that you would have Ryan Garcia going up against Teofimo Lopez. If they would do something like that, I would be like, wow, what? Like, that would really throw us off. But the thing with Bob Arum is he's kind of trying to say that most of those fights of that magnitude, like, he would want to have a crowd, you know, a big crowd to be able to attend those particular fights. So for him to, like, kind of say, hey, we might have a fight between, like, a Ryan Garcia and a Vasyl Lomachenko, or a Ryan Garcia versus Teofimo Lopez, not that there isn't going to be a big crowd or a sellout crowd or something like that. So he's not – I don't think that would be something, like, for – Lopez versus, Ryan Garcia. But if he could have Teofimo Lopez and Vasyl Lomachenko behind closed doors, then he could probably have Vasyl Lomachenko against Ryan Garcia, and that could be at a venue over in Texas or over in Florida or something like that, where they could have, you know, maybe a capacity of 12,000 or, you know, up to 14,000 maybe, and that could be pulled off, because it's not like, you know, Vasyl Lomachenko is really a, someone that brings in a lot of fans to the seats, but he still gets a lot of attention in boxing circles. So if you have somebody like Vasyl Lomachenko, who's trying to get back into the game, going up against Ryan Garcia, now that could be something that could throw some people off. What about that as a potential matchup there at lightweight? Yo, wait, you still on there?
You're asking a question, JR.
No, I was saying potentially. I think with Ryan Garcia, you lucky that Matt's not on here, man. He would have posted that. That Ryan Garcia could be an outside shot to facing Vasyl Lomachenko at lightweight.
And you asked me what I thought about that. Honestly, they should keep this dude away from anybody who's a B plus and above. They should keep him away from anybody that's B plus or above. Lomachenko will box circles around this dude. Sure, he could probably use power, but has he shown the ability to even set that power up? Does he have the ability to set that power up? Can he beat somebody who, well, and the crazy thing about it is that he doesn't have the IQ, in my opinion, to do. So the reason why what's the dude who just beat Lomachenko?
Teofimo Lopez.
The reason why Lopez won is because he threw his jab out, and he had longer arms, 4 or 5 inches, which made Lomachenko really uncomfortable. Ryan Garcia gonna have longer arms. He don't know how to jab. He doesn't choose to jab. It's gonna be a totally different fight. Yeah, it's not gonna go well. He would lose a boxing match. I think his face would get touched up a bunch. I just think I need to keep him against B minus and below.
I mean, you got, you know, someone, Ryan Garcia, who's there, that's tall. I mean, he's tall and lanky. There at 5'10", at lightweight, you know. But, you know, like you said, if he's not very active with the jab, then he could, you know, have some issues with someone with the experience of Vasyl Lomachenko. But, you know, I feel like that could be a something that, you know, I don't think many people have thought about as a potential fight that Ryan Garcia could have, because if it's going to be, you know, somewhere where Ryan Garcia claims it's a big fight, that's about the only thing left that, you know, I would say is a big fight that's, you know, not going to be for a world title, you know, or anything like that. And Vasyl Lomachenko is, you know, still up there as far as like a, you know, highly ranked contender at lightweight. So, you know, why not have a fight like that over at 135 pounds? Because he said he's not going to, he ain't talking about no, you know, Tank. He's not fighting Tank. You know, if he's talking about fighting Tank, he's not fighting Tank. He's talking about fighting Manny Pacquiao, and he's not fighting Manny Pacquiao. But there hasn't been any word about him fighting Vasyl Lomachenko, and that could potentially be the fight. If it's not going to be, you know, anything there with, you know, Manny Pacquiao or Jorge Linares, then, hey, maybe a Vasyl Lomachenko is, you know, a possibility. You know what I'm saying?
Man, they going to put that dude against somebody. Sorry. He going to keep fighting these bums. Same way everybody else is.
Hey.
I don't know how I feel about the crying wolf part. That kind of got a bad taste in my mouth. Don't publicize and, yeah, we fight next and we fighting right now.
Yeah, I'm doing this. I'm doing that.
And then you do, which everybody knows was a bad idea, but nevertheless, it's like, don't do that. And then your team say, nah, we're giving out the fight because you don't have a belt now. Come on. Like, you were right, really fighting for his belt? Really?
Yeah, that wouldn't be it, because, you know, thing for like Ryan Garcia and Manny Pacquiao, you really didn't see anything for Ryan Garcia saying like, oh, I want to go after Manny Pacquiao and the belt. It was just the name of Manny Pacquiao, and that was it. So
yeah,
now that Manny Pacquiao is you know, champion in recess, that belt is, you know, out of the card. So if you were just gonna go up there to try to get a world title, first of all, you weren't even too sure, like, if you were going to go for it, if you were going to try to fight Manny Pacquiao, if the WBA was going to approve that fight. That's number one. And then number two is, if you go there and you lose, like, what does that mean for you? Especially if you get, you know, washed or you get knocked out, you know, you get stopped pretty quickly. That's going to hurt you in the long run, you know. You have to be somewhat competitive in order for it to, you know, have some type of weight towards you in your future endeavors. And right now, why would you go forward with a fight of this magnitude when you have like a whole lot of fights that you could have, you know, ahead of you that could build yourself up, you know, to be that superstar, so-called superstar that you want to be in the sport of boxing. So that's kind of a, you know, a weird thing right there. You know, those listening in live, you could call in 347-237-5539. Press the 1 key to get on queue if you want to talk about various topics in the sport of boxing. That was just, you know, throwing in that idea out there for Ryan Garcia. If he ain't fighting, you know, with Teofimo Lopez, if he ain't fighting, you know, Manny Pacquiao, If he ain't going to be fighting Jorge Linares, then maybe he could fight Vasyl Lomachenko, because I doubt that Lomachenko would probably be on the shelf for an extended period of time. I think he's going to get right back in the ring, and it's not going to be a rematch against Teofimo Lopez. So we'll see how that kind of handles itself. One other thing that I've seen over the past week is in the heavyweight division, they're looking to make a fight between Joe Joyce and Oleksandr Usyk. And it could be for the interim, if they make it an interim, the interim WBO heavyweight title. And that kind of like says that, hey, maybe that could say that, yo, maybe we could have an undisputed title fight at the heavyweight division, because it's been how many weeks now that we haven't heard anything about, you know, Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. You know, I thought we would have been able to hear something by this particular time period when it came to if there was going to be a third fight. But I just don't see that materializing right now, you know. So if that's going to be the case, then what's going to happen with Wilder? Is he going to get, like, you know, maybe some type of financial, compensation or anything like that? Or are they going to move on and just say, hey, we'll have another fight, you know, later on? I just don't know. But if there was something for me to say that Wilder and Fury were going to have a fight, then they would have had something, you know, either through both parties or through, like, an independent party saying that, oh, this is a settlement. This is, you know, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. And we would have had something. But I still haven't heard anything yet. So with the announcement from various sources that, you know, Joyce is going to be fighting Usyk, with Usyk being the WBO mandatory, that takes that mandatory for the WBO out of the way. And that just leaves everything open for Anthony Joshua to fight for the undisputed title if he wants to, you know. And that's gonna be interesting to see if that actually materializes and becomes official. But yeah, as of right now, I don't see anything that's saying that Wilder is going to have a fight with Tyson Fury, at least not right now.
So you're saying that they're saying the WBC is going to be an interim WBC title for that matchup?
WBO.
Joshua fight. But I thought Joshua already got to the WBO.
Well, he does. But the thing with the WBC is, like, here was the situation. When Wilder fought Fury the second time, that's a voluntary defense. So with him losing, it still would constitute as something where he would have to exercise his rematch clause. So initially he did, but we haven't had the fight. First, we haven't had the fight, and we haven't had anything kind of secured to say that there's a date, a venue, or anything, or financial, you know, agreements or anything like that for that particular fight. So with that being the case, what is happening on that particular side to where you haven't heard anything from the WBC to say, okay, these two guys have to settle something in order for that third fight to happen, because Tyson Fury holds the WBC belt, and what has it been? It's almost been a year. So you have a year's time. And the thing, luckily, with the WBC, they don't have to worry about a mandatory challenger yet, because Dillon White lost to Povetkin. So that means the WBC could be open to having any type of fight for that WBC heavyweight title. And, like, I haven't seen anything from the WBC, no virtual conventions or anything like that, to where they have some type of resolution for the heavyweight title. like nothing from them. So it's basically up to Wilder and Fury right now. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's the deal? What's the, you know, update for it? I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, I don't think Tyson looked to want to run it back, especially with the scrutiny that's going to be around him in terms of making sure everything is legit. He can blame it on being consulted all he wants. However, if Deontay Wilder is healthy, like, that dent in his head doesn't, like, lead to concussions like Mr. Byrne and stuff, he's okay. Like, you know, his 2-3 doctor's appointment in the last year secured him and make sure that, you know, just everything going to be fine. And, yeah, and he get back to the basics because he got to get back to the basics. The stuff he's been doing, the things he got away with, something got to change because that's not going to work. Definitely not going to work.
Well, I mean, that's just something that, I mean, I gotta see, like, how that's going to turn out. You know, but as far as, like, the thing with Tyson Fury, if there's, like, any type of scrutiny, I don't know where that is because they've had, you know, they've had instances where they've talked with Tyson Fury, they talked with, you know, Sugar Hill Stewart, Javon Stewart, and, you know, we've heard from Deontay Wilder. We've heard from Wilder while he was on, you know, The Last Stand with Brian Custer in that, you know, particular podcast with that Brian Custer hosted. And he was, like, kind of – it was more like he was dense or leaning more towards the side of not fighting Tyson Fury again. You know, it wasn't like he was, like, saying, oh – yeah, I really want that fight. I really want that third fight. I want to go ahead and prove myself and get, and you know, get what did he call the WBC belt? Sophie back or Sophia or something like that. Like, it didn't seem like he had that type of energy towards getting back at Tyson Fury. It was more like he wanted to move on from Tyson Fury, that Tyson Fury did this, that he, you know, manipulated the gloves or, you know, any or that type of thing and say that, oh, why would I fight someone like that? Why would I fight a cheater? You know, that was kind of like the energy of Deontay Wilder at that particular point. So if it's more like that, then I really don't see them having a third fight. And with that being said, I'm like, where is the WBC in all of this? What are they pushing for? Are they pushing for that third fight? Are they even saying that, you know, a third fight should happen? Or are they leaning towards trying to get an undisputed title fight happening with Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua? You know, but I haven't heard much from, the WBC and what they were talking about in reference to this. But, you know, maybe we need to find more about that because I think that the WBC and that organization really controls the cards as to if you're going to have a fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder or Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. If they don't say anything, then that just leaves everything up in the air as far as I'm concerned.
Wilder is not valued. We all know that he's not valued. People don't necessarily find the value in him. Like, they would rather support Tyson Fury than to support a champion who has been pretty faithful to them. And, I mean, that has not been – I think Wilder should be used to that because that's pretty consistent with Alphabet – things, you know, that's been pretty consistent with things you can call out with letters. But, yeah. So, that's probably why he dejected, because he just used to the rigmarole.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm kind of like looking at this. Yeah, I was like looking at this whole thing here for Joshua and Fury, and they said that, you know, they were talking about, you know, having contract talks, and that was from last week. But, you know, for the thing with Wilder, it's like, where's Wilder in all of this? How does he fit in? And, you know, like, I feel like he, if he wants to, like, just say that he wants to prove that, you know, Tyson Fury is not better than him, then he needs to, you know, get it on and try to get that, you know, that third fight secured as soon as possible. But right now, it just seems like the most that is being talked about is, you know, the thing with Joshua and Fury. And maybe the same goes the same with that, you know, is, you know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury, then maybe that fight's not going to happen because it's being talked about the most. But, you know, on the flip side, man, it's like Deontay Wilder is, you know, kind of like off and on one of the most talked about fighters. And there was like a good significant amount of time when he was like out of the picture, not in the spotlight, not saying anything. And this is somebody that's been, you know, outwardly, you know, he's outspoken. He's one of the most outspoken fighters in the game. And yet, you know, for, you know, ever since he had lost to Tyson Fury last February, you really didn't hear that much from him. Until, like, you know, he had something where he was out in public in July. He had, like, one, you know, he had, like, one video out when all the protests and stuff was happening over the course of the summer. And then later on down the line, you had the thing where he made that public statement in reference to Tyson Fury and what Tyson Fury has done. So, right now, it's kind of a slippery slope as far as like the time period as to when that fight between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury could actually happen. If they don't make something, or they don't make any type of announcement here within the next few weeks, then I just feel like Deontay Wilder is going to be out of the picture. And you know, they've already had, like, potential opponents that he could be facing. They're talking about him potentially facing Charles Martin. And I'm like, well, maybe that could be the case. But right now we need to, you know, the heavyweight division is, like, hanging on as far as, like, if they could have an undisputed title fight. And they could have had that chance over the past few years, and it didn't happen. So right now it looks like they want to make it happen. And they want to do it as soon as possible. Deontay Wilder is the key for that to actually go forward, if it's going to go forward this year, or we would have to wait a little bit longer for that potential undisputed heavyweight title fight to happen. So we got to see what's up with Wilder, man. We'll be waiting to see how that goes. And once that, you know, is kind of like straightened out, then we'll see how the heavyweight situation sorts itself out, you know, with all of that. So that's my take on that. You know, it pretty much like covers most of what's been going on, man. I don't see anything, you know, that's you know, happening out there in the boxing world. You know, we'll probably get back at it here for the next show on February 7th. But if there's like any type of news thing that's going on around the boxing world, we'll be jumping on it here. Wanted to see if I could get in contact with Jared Anderson, who's going to be in the fight card that's going to happen February 13th. Main event is Joe Smith Jr. versus Maxim Blasov for that WBO light heavyweight title. But want to see if I can get that heavyweight prospect Jared Anderson on to the show. Maybe I could do it for next week if he's able to get on before he goes into that fight. But you know, in the meantime, I'll be you know, keeping my eyes and ears out for the latest boxing news. And big ups to Mr. Mike Grady for joining in this particular live conversation. And for those that were listening through the stream, the live stream on YouTube, thanks to y'all as well. That will kind of like wrap it up for this particular episode of the Boxing Source Radio Show. Like I said, we're going to be back at it here next week. And like I say at the end of every show, folks, point of boxing is to hit and not get hit, not to stand and trade. On that note, folks, I'm out. Have a good evening, everybody.